Let the church say amen. Truly, it's a blessing to be here this evening. We want to thank all the brethren for their portion that they played in coming together to worship God in spirit and in truth. And my son, I think he thought he was going to get off without having to sing a song. And the brother pulled his coattail, and so I'm glad he caught him and he led us in some songs. We give all glory to God because God is worthy. I just want to say something about your minister. He's a good friend of mine, but I was concerned about Brother Stroud on today during lunch. I asked him a question. I said, "How long y'all been married?" And I was here. I was listening. 1001, 1002, and he began to. You could tell the wheels were spinning in his mind. And he wanted to make sure to get that answer right, and he started counting. He was counting out loud, and he was counting by tens and doing his tens and his. But he got the number right, but he said that number. Then he looked. He said, "Ain't that right?" He had to make sure Sister Stroud co-signed that. But I tell you, I love me some Brother Stroud. Wonderful man of God and an humble man of God. Not only is he a great preacher, but he's a good man. And that's a hard combination to find amongst gospel preachers. But here at Highland Heights, you have that. And you ought to thank God for that. And he has a wonderful, lovely life, a wife by his side. And they are a great team. And Highland Heights, the greatest is yet to come. You guys have a great future in the care of you. Keep on doing the will of God. God has some great plans for you. Let's go to work. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And I know our verse of emphasis is actually verse 16, but we want to start with verse number 14. It's not something new. It's not. I don't come to preach anything new. Anything that I'm teaching you, you've already heard before because you've seen it written in the Word of God. I'm not going to preach anything that's not in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5 and beginning at verse number 14. Jesus stated, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." What a wonderful passage of scripture for us to talk about servanthood. And we were talking this morning, teach us, master. But now tonight we're going to deal with my light or your light. And as each of us has a light that has been given to us by Jesus Christ, what are we doing with that light? That light should be shining. That light should be brightly shining, bringing attention to Jesus Christ, because he is the one in whom the glory belongs to. So therefore, our light ought to be shining, not to shine on us, but to give light unto Jesus Christ. Now, I want to deviate at this point, and I know I have a reader sitting over there. I want you to turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and I want you to read for me in the book of Genesis, and I want you to connect this on tonight. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 16, and I want to show you something from Genesis 1, 16, and then we're going to go to Romans 11 around about verse number 33, and then we'll make our way back to Matthew chapter 5, because we're still talking about we are the light of the world. And I just want to mention, because any time that God created something, any time that God made something, he made it to give glory to himself. Amen. God never made anything that did not glorify him. And matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, everything gives God honor, glory, and praise like it ought to, except mankind. One of the things that he made in his image is the one thing that's disobedient to him. When we read Romans, Genesis chapter 1 and the verse there is number 16, what does the Bible say?
And God made two great lights.
And God made two great lights.
The greater light to rule the day.
The greater light to rule the day.
And the lesser light to rule the night.
And the lesser light to rule the night.
He made the stars also.
He made the stars also. You know the inference that is made in this particular verse. God put the sun exactly where it was, and God made the moon. If God is the one who made the moon, which is the greater light, God made the sun the greater light, and the moon, which he made, is the lesser light. The sun and the moon give glory to God. Because God is the one who made it, but man's problem is that man started worshiping the creation rather than the creator. God created the light for his purpose, and everything honored him and gave him glory, even the sun. When I look at Joshua chapter 10, there was a time when the sun stood still and did not go down. Why? Because it was obedient unto the will of the Father. It was supposed to go down, but because the people were winning and God had given command through Joshua, and that the people understand that the sun stood still. Why? Because it obeyed its creator. And when we obey our creator, we are reflecting him and not ourselves. So therefore, we do not worship the sun. We do not worship the moon. They are creations that were created by Almighty God. They are lights. One was greater light. One was a lesser light. But everything that God made, it was made by him. And the purpose was that he would receive the glory and the honor. Amen. Romans chapter 11. And I want to help us here with something about in verse number 35 and verse number 36. Romans chapter 11, verses number 35 and verse number 36. What does the Bible say?
Or who hath first given to him?
Or who hath first given to him?
And it shall be recompensed.
And it shall be recompensed
unto him again.
Unto him again.
For of him.
For of him.
And through him.
And through him.
And to him.
And to him.
Are all things.
When you get that understanding, when you understand for of him, and when you understand that through him and that to him, everything that we see and everything that we accomplish, you are not able to do anything except it be God's will. You got to understand, even when you get up in the morning, you didn't get up just because your alarm clock went out. You got up because God decided you did not have to answer the death call, and he gave you yet another day. So therefore, everything that we have is because of the glory of God. Keep reading. What does the Bible say? Verse number 36. Keep reading that again.
For of him.
For of him.
And through him.
And through him.
And to him.
And to him.
Are all things.
Are all things.
To whom be glory.
To whom be glory. Forever, amen. Everything that we have, everything that exists, give glory and honor to God. The sun honors God because it rises and it sets when God commands it to. The moon gives glory and honor to God because God created it. The stars give glory and honor to God because God created it. Every one that I just named, it has a light receptacle, but it is reflecting the creator that created it. It is not to give glory to itself. The sun does not exist of itself, neither the moon nor the stars. That's why God named every last one of the stars. He is the one that is the reason. He is the purpose, and the glory belongs to Almighty God. Matthew chapter 5. Go back there with me. Matthew chapter 5. And I want to show us. So he said, ye are the light of the world. You are a city that is set on an hill, and it cannot be hid. Amen. You see, he's saying that the city is not one single light. The city is comprised of many lights that shine as one. What a beautiful thing it would be if Highland Heights let all of their lights shine. Amen. But the lights shined together. Amen. And when they shine together, the brightness of it is greater than just one person shining by himself. Amen. We collectively are lights individually, but boy, what happens to this community when you start shining together? When all of your lights are shining together and the brightness of it and the glory of it, what would happen to this community if you all be of the same mind, same understanding, and all giving glory and honor to God, and we are shining brighter than these light bulbs are shining on tonight? We'll have that opportunity. But we cannot let our light go low. We must allow the Spirit of God to refuel us and give us what we need so that our lights can keep on shining. He said that we are a city that's set on a hill and it cannot be hid. One thing about light is that light needs no explanation. It is what it is. And there's one thing about light is that darkness and light cannot coexist in the same place at the same time. When light comes, darkness has to go. How do I know this? Because the same book that we were just reading from, in Genesis chapter 1, the earth was void and darkness was over the whole earth. Anybody ever read that? And God said, let there be, amen, somebody. And when the light came, the darkness had to go. Amen. Why? Because they both could not exist in the same place at the same time. You cannot be cold and hot. That's why Jesus said that you are lukewarm and I spill you out of your mouth if I wish that you were cold or hot. But boy, when we all branded brightly shining, amen, what a marvelous reflection of Jesus we give off when nobody's trying to outshine nobody else. We're shining for the glory of God. Let me say that again. What a beautiful thing it is when we're not competing against each other, but working together with each other. Amen. And when we do that, our light shines more brighter and God gets more glory. Amen. What happens when we are shining like this, like we ought to be shining? One thing about it, Galatians 2:20. When we are shining like we ought to be shining, and we are that city that's set on a hill, then there are things that we are doing every day to give glory and to give honor to Almighty God. Galatians chapter 2 in the verse there is number 20. What does the Bible tell us?
I am crucified with Christ.
I am crucified with Christ.
Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me.
But Christ that liveth in me. It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's the Christ in you and I. And when we allow that light to shine, it will give light in Houston, which is a dark place. Surrounding this building, it's a dark place. Texas City, it's a dark place. But when the church is brightly shining, it will bring light to people that are lost because they need to know where salvation is, and it's in the Lord's church. And when we are shining like we ought to be, not fighting amongst ourselves, not devouring one another, but letting the light of God shine, we bring people to Christ because we know that's our mission while we're here on this earth. Amen. Paul said, I'm crucified. He said, but it's not me. He said, it is Christ that liveth in me. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 5. What beautiful things he's saying in this first sermon after his baptism. After he said that we're the light of the world and a city that sit on a hill that cannot be hid, he said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and he give it light unto all that are in the house. You see, before we start wanting to save the world, how about your house? How about we start in our own family, where there's darkness in everybody's family? Well, maybe it's just mine, the way y'all looking at me, but maybe I just got crazy people in my family. Okay, thank you. Everybody got them. We all got some unsaved people in our families. We got some people living in darkness in our own families. And it's a wonder to me that we want to save the brotherhood, but we don't want to go into the neighborhood, and we sure don't want to bring salvation to our own house. We need to start at our own house. Amen. You see, the light that we're shining, what good would it have done Noah, a preacher of righteousness, to have preached 120 years and his family not go in the ark? Mm-hmm. Amen, somebody. What good would it have done that he had preached all that time and his sons and their wives didn't go in the ark? But what he did was he preached 120 years. Only 8 souls were saved, but those 8 souls were connected to his family, because he wanted to make sure that whatever I'm preaching and teaching, I'm not going to tell just everybody else. He had to have told his wife, his sons, and their wives. Because he couldn't just preach 120 years telling everybody else it's going to rain. Mrs. Noah knew it was going to rain also. Those boys knew it was going to rain also. We can preach the gospel to everybody, but we got people in our own family that's on their way to hell, and we don't want to say nothing to them about it. Let that light shine in your own family, and let that candle be on a candlestick, and when it's lit, it'll give light to everybody that's in the house. What a blessing it is to know when I lay down to sleep, everybody in my house is saved and a member of the Lord's church. Amen. I'm not bragging, I'm just simply saying what a blessing it is to know that I did not save others and not help to save my own family. We got to witness to those that are lost. And where we need to start is in our own homes. And then he said this in verse 16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to see what he's not telling us to do when he talks about our good works. In Matthew chapter 6 and beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." It's a shame that there are some folk busy, but what you're doing, like my father used to say, doesn't amount to anything. Amen. Because if you're busy not doing his will, you won't receive the reward that he has. That's it. You already have your reward amongst people, but I'd rather have favor with God than with people. Amen. So he says in verse number 2, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward." When you do something and you're doing it for God, you ain't got to run and tell everybody. Amen. Amen. You don't have to do that. The glory belongs to God. If you went and helped a widow that's in need, if you went and did something for a family that could not pay their rent or needed some groceries, but then you come back broadcasting everything that you did, why did you do it in the first place? When your motive is not right, I don't care how much you do, God won't accept it. He's saying that you'll have the reward. You have no reward, because what you were trying to do is simply to be noticed by men. And I want to say this while I'm there. Brother Stroud, we live in a technological society on today. And we got so many of our young folk, our young people, our middle-aged people that want people to like them on Facebook. And they are thinking about their existence on how many likes they have on Facebook. It ain't but one person I want to like me. Amen. I'd rather have God on my side. Yes, sir.
And I don't care about the likes and all this other stuff that's out there, but you better watch it, because you got children growing up thinking that their existence is based on what people say they are on Facebook.
Amen. That's right.
When you understand who it is that you belong to, and you know that with him and by him and through him all things exist, you don't worry about what other people have to say. You simply do God's will. And you try to please him every time that you do whatever it is that you do. But you don't go around telling everybody else. And let me drop this while I'm here also. If you're helping somebody, don't go around telling their business that you had to help them.
Amen. Amen.
Keep your mouth quiet. Shut your mouth. Because if you're walking around talking their business out in the public, then it makes it hard for them to trust anybody in the Lord's church. He said this in verse number 3, but when thou doest alms, he said, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall what? Reward thee openly.
Yes, that's it.
I ain't worried about even whether or not you come back and say thank you, as long as my heavenly Father approves of it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter you getting likes or dislikes or somebody approving it. When I know I'm pleasing God, it doesn't matter what man says. But make sure you base what you do, not looking to get verification from people. It's God's consent I want. It's God's approval that I want. And you are working for God and not for approval from mankind.
Amen. Amen.
Help us, Lord. Help us when we understand it's not about us, but we got to let our light shine, because it's the light of Jesus that's in us. And that's what we want people to see. Let me close with this. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want to look at verses number 10 and verse number 11. When we talk about servanthood, when we talk about your light, how beautiful it is to know that God has already given us instruction of how we ought to act and what our motives ought to be all about. Brother Stroud, before we read verses 10 and 11, we had a men's training class a few years ago. And I was teaching brothers how to teach a lesson and prepare a lesson and even teach a class and preach a gospel sermon. But before we got started, I said, we're not going to jump right into how to preach. I want to know why do you want to preach. I want to know what is your motive behind wanting to stand up and preach the word of God. Is it to be seen? If it is, like my dad says, sit down and be quiet. Because you're not going to do but make a mess in the Lord's church if all you want to do is be seen. But when you understand that it's the how will come along. And then I told them that of the brothers that we were talking about and preaching there in the class. And I said that everybody might not be able to preach the same. And I don't want you to pattern yourself after me or pattern yourself after God. You do how you can do according to what God has given you. And when you do what you can do and not trying to be like somebody else, God will get the glory.
Amen.
But while you're trying to pattern yourself after somebody else, pray like somebody else, sing like somebody else, no. They are not your God.
Amen.
And they are not the people that you ought to put yourself after. This writer said, when we compare ourselves by ourselves, we are unwise. So therefore, whenever you're doing a ministry or whenever you're doing a service, stop looking at somebody else and comparing yourself to somebody else. You are uniquely made. God only made one of you.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 4 and read verse number 10. What does the Bible say?
As every man hath received the gift.
As every man hath received the gift.
Even so minister the same one to another.
Even so minister the same one to another.
As good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want you to pay attention to this. In verse number 10, whatever talent and whatever gift that God has given it to you, you are to use it to serve God. And you are to use it to serve one another. And realize that that gift that God has given you, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And therefore, you are a steward and you are a manager over the gift or the talent God has given you. And I came by to tell you this, that if you don't use what God has given you, you may come to a day when you want to use it and you'll lose it. Some people try to wait for the right moment to use the talent that God has given them, and then you get too old and you can't do nothing. And you had time and opportunity to do something while God had given you that gift. He's saying that this gift comes from God. But what you are is a manager over the gift. Because the gift didn't come from you. The gift and the talent came from Almighty God. And let me drop this while I'm there. Stephen has the gift of singing. His daddy don't. And I ain't worried about that. Because that's not what God gave me. And God gave him that gift, and God wants him to use it to the glory and the honor of God. And I ain't worried about it, and I ain't looking down on him, wishing I could sing like him. I can practice all day, all night, and I'll never sing like he sings. Because God didn't gift me with that portion of that gift. And that's all right. Amen, somebody. Stop thinking everybody can do what everybody else can do. That's a lie. Amen, somebody. If you know, you talked about having greeters, and God didn't gift you with that gift and with hospitality, and you got somebody out there that's trying to greet somebody and act like they've been sucking on lemons all night long, you're going to run more folk away than they'll come in here. But that same person might have a gift in using the telephone. That same person might be good in organizing things. They just might not be a people person. And that's all right. But stop trying to force somebody who's not a people person to do something where we need people who are people people. Amen, somebody. Let's stop trying to do that. If they are not a people person and they don't have that gift, even though they raise their hand and they want to do that, you know they're going to make a mess of that ministry. And you got to be honest with yourself. You ain't smiled since 1979. And if you ain't smiled since 1979, why are you trying to be a greeter? I'm sorry, 86, I'm sorry. You ain't smiled since 86. But the thing is, we know ourselves. You can sit there and be in the bathroom all day long and singing while the shower is going on, but soon that water got to come off. And what you sound like while that water is going is different when you get up here and you're facing an audience. Amen. Amen, somebody. If he did not give you that gift, that's all right. He did give you at least one. And whatever that one is, use it to the glory of God. Amen. And don't worry about what he's given somebody else. He might have given somebody else two or three or four or five. If he only gave you two, then use those two to his glory. Amen. Everyone has a gift. Use it to minister and use it to serve. 1 Peter 4:11, what does the Bible say?
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
Let him speak as the oracles of God.
If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth.
Let him do it how?
As the ability
which as God of the giveth. Ability which God giveth. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
That God in all things may be
that
glorified.
That God in all things might be glorified, that the light will shine brightly on God, the gift giver rather than the gift receiver. And you understand that the gift came from God, but we are to use that gift because God gave it to us, and God doesn't want us to waste that gift. He wants us to use it to his glory and to his honor. And the last part of that says what?
Through Jesus Christ.
To whom be praise Amen. And dominion Amen. Forever Amen. And forever.
Amen.
Amen. That's what he wants us to do. Realize where your ability comes from. And Brother Stroud, it amazes me. We know this on every level, except when it comes to the church. You don't go to your job thinking you're going to do something you ain't got no gift or talent to do. And think your boss going to be okay with you making a mess of that business. And you ain't gifted or talented to do what you're trying to do. But we act like in the church, it's all right. Let's get out of this thing that everybody can do everything. No, everybody can do something.
Amen.
Everybody has a gift or a talent that God has given them. And we need to be honest with ourselves and say, well, I've been able to do this on my job because I found out I'm gifted or talented in this area. And if I can do it on my job and help my job, surely I can do it in the service of God. I can use whatever gift I use in the secular world to make the money to take care of whatever I'm taking care of in my household. If God blessed me with that job, my job realized the talent that I have. The talent that I have, I can come back and use it for service in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We can understand that with everything else. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's know who gave the gift. It came from God. Let's know that the light is not to be shining on us. It's to be shining on God. And let's know that we are stewards over something God has given us. And we ought to be faithful stewards. Because one day we'll have to give an account of our stewardship. And if you haven't used what God has given you, people in Texas City tell me, Brother O, you need to stop preaching so hard. I say, I don't know if this is my last message. If so, I'll give it everything I got.
Amen.
Because God has given me everything that I have.
Amen.
And I'm not going to hold back anything on any sermon. I'm going to give God the glory.
Amen,
Amen somebody.
Amen.
Stop waiting and waiting for the best time or the optimal time. The time is right now. Give God your best and give him your best right now. He surely deserves it. And we honor him and realize that when we do this, our good works are there to give glory and honor to God. You want people to know God like you know him. You want your light to bring attention to him and not to yourself. So let's let our light shine brightly together. And let's not be in competition with each other to outshine each other. Let's shine together. The moon does not compete against the sun. It understands its responsibility. One is the greater light to rule by the day. The other is the lesser light to rule by the night. And they are not conflicting one with another. And neither should any of us do the same.
Amen.
It's all to the glory
yes,
of Almighty God. Maybe someone here tonight who has not put Christ on in baptism. God is calling you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses number 1 through 4, the facts that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose from the grave. And the scripture said, according to the scriptures. What a blessing it is. Yes, he died. Yes, he was buried. But Brother Stroud, I'm thankful early Sunday morning he got up from that grave. Because if he didn't get up from that grave, we'd still be in our sins and we would be men most miserable. But we know he got up because we had witnesses, and 500 brethren saw him at one time. He gave the command to go and tell people to hear that gospel, believe that gospel, repent of your sin, confess the name of Jesus Christ, and then be baptized in water for the remission of your sin. Acts 2:47, the Lord will add you to the church of Christ. And I'm not ashamed to say the church of Christ, because that is the church he bought and paid for and has his name and is the bride of Christ. If you're a member of the church and you strayed away, come back through repentance, confession, and prayer. But if you haven't put Christ on in baptism, come right now while we stand and while we sing.
Amen. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to his spring. And 'tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. And will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.